chicken for Jaden.
Meow.
Meow. Meow, meow, meow.
Worms. Anyway.
Meow.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 420 degrees Fahrenheit, baby, to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you all feel it? Is it working? Floods. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Hello, hello, hello.
Bah.
Bah.
Tell you about 5 minutes after I finish this beer.
The Freedom Fiends.
Like sin floods.
Yeah, the sin flood. Well, we don't like the sin flood of statism. We don't like that. Anyway, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Ah! Is that the new site? Yes. Pictures or it didn't happen.
Anyway, yeah. It's been a while, y'all. I know.
Yes.
I think it's been like a month or something since I've done a show. I don't know.
Has it been that long? Well, yeah, you definitely missed the past couple of Sundays with me, so.
I know. Well, and...
You're busy,
but,
I know.
Well, you know, I mean, yeah, stuff's just been going on. Yeah, busy and...
We all want to run.
I feel like I'm having an existential crisis, I would say, a little bit. But it's good. I feel like it's a growth thing. I think that it's really uncomfortable and painful right now, but I'm going to come out on the other side like way better. So,
you know how to get through that?
What?
Just read a bunch of Charles Bukowski.
Okay.
Then you'll see how good your life really is.
I find him actually pretty inspiring.
So do I. I love the cat. I actually turned somebody on to him that never heard of him, and yeah, pretty impressed.
Yeah, I've been, anyway, I'm not going to go into it. I'm not trying to get all depressed or make anybody else depressed or anything like that, but it's good. I feel like I'm coming out on the other side. I see the light at the end of the tunnel, and in particular, since this stupid whatever you call this sham circus of a political process thingy that's going on today. And it's, I guess, pretty close to being over. I don't know what's going to happen.
Oh, it ain't over yet, baby.
Yeah.
It ain't over till December 19th.
December 19th?
January 19th?
You mean January 19th or January 20th? Or
No, December 19th. That's when the Electoral College meets to select the president.
Exactly.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, we, as anarchists, we
unless
joke
you're in
about
a swing state, yeah.
You know, we joke about it and say, oh, it's all a selection process. But it really is.
It really is.
That's no joke.
Yeah.
So I think the one great, like, you and I both were talking earlier how we've just been off social media. I've been on, like, once in the past few days. And it's been very therapeutic.
Right.
But it has been the one good thing about all this election nonsense is when I got on tonight at, like, I don't know, 20 minutes ago, just on Facebook to read people's comments and how they are just losing their minds. Their heads are exploding over all this stuff. It's so hilarious. I'm just like, yep. Have fun with that.
Yeah, I know. I haven't been on Facebook, but I have been on Twitter. Quite a bit more. And I don't know why that seems better to me, but yeah, Facebook, for some reason, it was just getting the I guess to put it completely, like, succinctly, the negativity was getting to me. Not that there's not plenty of negativity on Twitter, but I guess when you keep it at 140 characters or less, I can handle it.
Yeah. It's less assaulting on your senses. Yeah.
just a wee bit of negativity. That's it.
Right. Okay. Yeah. 140 characters of negativity versus the essays that people tend to write on Facebook. Anyway.
Just ignore the essays.
So we have any announcements or anything before
I do
we
have an announcement, actually. And I'm reading this. to go into the Fiend's congressional record of being on air. Awesome. And this is Michael's prediction that shortly after the election, some U.S. federal government shadow agency will kill the president of the Philippines, not for his gross violations of the human rights of his subjects, but for being a loose cannon who doesn't play ball with America, and because he calls American presidents hilariously insulting names. That cannot stand from a world leader, especially with whichever of these two goons ends up president. Neither of them can take criticism well. It will look like an accident or an assassination from some military member in the Philippines, but yeah, Duterte's days are numbered. Yep. And that comes from Michael. That's his prediction. So, and that is, hopefully somebody has placed this in the Fiend's congressional record of being on air.
I'm getting right on that. It's kind of sad, man. That Duterte guy's, he's a trip, man. Hearing him call Obama a pansy.
He's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's funny, but
the people that live there.
No,
he's encouraging vigilante violence.
Mm-mm. Yeah, just killing people who just, what is it, even if they have drugs, I think he said, just kill them if he sees them. I wasn't even selling them.
Oh, yeah.
What he ordered people to do, just if you see them, just kill them on sight. That's how he saw it.
Because he wants all the drugs for himself.
Well, yeah, most likely.
Give that man some kratom.
No, they don't try to corner the market on that, too. That won't be good. Yeah, he's a dangerous. Well, they're all dangerous. I don't even know if the two idiots we got are going to be dangerous, too, so I don't think it really matters.
Well,
who's we? Got a mouse in your pocket?
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, the three of us have to deal with them still.
Yeah, that's true.
So we still have to put up with them.
You know, I'm realistic. I realize that regardless of what wonderful ideology we may accept and live, one of these crazy cats is going to take over the U.S. state. But I got to say, the way things are going, I'll be more than happy to say I was wrong. It looks like Trump is going to take it, and it'll be worth it just to see the morning after picture of Hillary Clinton. I mean, that, I can't even say what I think of that woman on air, but man, just to see her just, I was the chosen one, and they denied me.
Yeah.
And we know it's not the people that denied her. You know, it's the deep state and the election riggers. So,
right.
She's like,
right.
That's like getting slapped in the face twice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but she's been at this so long. I mean, nobody'd ever be able to see that. She'd hide that face. I'm actually more want to see all the liberals' faces when they're
yeah
those faces. You know, because they'll be like people throwing themselves on the floor, sobbing uncontrollably. That would be pretty funny to watch.
Yeah, that their chosen vagina didn't actually get into office.
Oh my goodness. And it's so true, too.
You can say vagina on air, right?
I hope so. Because we just did. Hey, you know, I want to read something. I saw this on Facebook today, and it,
hey, I thought you weren't on Facebook.
I was, like I told you, like 20 minutes ago.
Brief.
And
it kind of
warmed my heart, actually. This is a more liberal-leaning friend I have on there that wrote, I would like to remind everyone that whatever the results of today's election, we are all neighbors and friends, families and co-workers, and we all have a vested interest in our communities and in our most precious resource, our children. I knew that was coming, but the conservative guy you disagree with politically might be the neighbor who changes your tire when you have a flat and you're running late for work, or it could be the paramedic who rushed your kid to the hospital when his leg is broken. The gal whose liberal inclinations you can't stand could be the teacher who helps your little one learn to read and make school fun again. The point is that whatever your political stance, we need each other to keep society functioning. And I think we'd all do well to remember during the fractious whatever political time in our country. And you know, it goes on a little bit, but
yeah.
The point is, you know, this cat's right. I mean, politics is a system set up to divide people, and it's good to remember the things that unite us. And
I read something, and I may have, and this was on Twitter, and I may have retweeted it, and I'm actually looking through my my tweets from today, which are considerable. Let's see. It was just talking about if a tenth of the energy spent on this election was spent instead on building up the community one lives in, we wouldn't be here now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I really appreciated that. And it was very succinct, it being Twitter and all.
See, it's funny. I actually had somebody else had a different take. Because what you read, Chandler, I saw that float. I saw something either that those words or something remarkably similar floating around quite a bit today. Because I actually was on, because I was just laughing at all the people freaking out. Mm-hmm. Before the election had really even kicked off, they were still all freaking out. But I saw somebody commented on one of the posts that had those couple of lines like that in it, and it was so basically what you're saying is this election was completely pointless anyway because we've all fought for nothing because we really should be because it was like an anarchist like being a wise ass and I was like. Actually, yeah, that's pretty funny. You're pretty much admitting that this was like, why don't you see that?
Yeah.
So while you see, well, you're like heartwarmed by it. I'm like, man, mm-hmm. come on. You guys are still clueless about this. What's wrong with you?
Mm-hmm. I wish I could have gotten a sticker that and would have worn it around today, probably. And one of the things I thought was really kind of cool and interesting is that, first of all, I did have someone ask me last night before I left work if I was planning on voting today, and I told them no. And they seemed a little surprised, but not like offended or anything. Like he didn't immediately jump down my throat. I explained, and I told him just in a nutshell, the lesser of evils is still evil. And also too, I don't want to legitimize a system that is corrupt to the core by actually using the energy it would take to go to the voting booth. I did not see a single person at work today with a sticker. Not a single person asked me today, had I voted.
And
I didn't hear anybody talking about it at all. But there's a sticker, or like what could have been a sticker, I guess, that I saw on Twitter. And it's, I farted and it made more of a difference.
Yeah. You contributed to global warming.
Go ahead.
I was kind of surprised and sad. My mom sent me a text tonight. So, did you vote? What do you think of everything that's going on? I was like, really? Yeah. Voting?
Have you met me? Excuse me, I'm Chandler. Hello.
You know anything about me, Mom?
Yeah. My mom knows that I think it's all crazy, but I doesn't pay it.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends. You're special. You're better than those geeky nerds who use Android phones. They think they're so smart. But you're one of the beautiful people who has an iPhone. So the Freedom Fiends moved heaven and earth to make an iPhone app just for you. iPhone users are elite, and the Freedom Fiends know this. And we've handcrafted this artisanal app just for you. It's gorgeous, like you. And like you, it's functional and then some. The app is free, and it's called Freedom Reeducation Camp. Go to iTunes and get Freedom Reeducation Camp today, because you inspire joy feelings in everyone around you. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp. Spend some time today in Freedom Reeducation Camp. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp.
I will say, I you know, all the other craziness at Pork Fest aside, I really miss our drunken on air escapades that week, man. That was fun stuff. Keep handing the bottle to Diana trying to get her to drink it. Come on.
Yeah.
That night ended.
What was
my
drinking?
Tent
I just remember
up.
I just remembered that it was a blue bottle. What was that stuff?
Milagro.
Yeah, that was my tequila.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
See, I should have known better. Like, from the get-go. That was clear tequila, and I don't do clear tequila. It just does not sit well with me every time. Yeah. But oh no, in the spirit of things, cheers.
Yeah, well, what's kind of funny, Chandler, is that, like, you said, you know, talking about handing me the bottle, and then you go, and then you know what happened next? My tent opened up.
And what came out wasn't pleasant.
But it was more like, my mind was more like, what you're saying I came in your tent? What? Because I drank so much tequila?
You wouldn't have wanted to be in my tent that night, boy. I'll tell you what.
Well, I did the same thing at Liberty Fest, so. And it's funny because my tent has two doors, and instead of picking the door that like goes to the back, that went to the back and like where the woods were, I picked the door to the front.
That's
where
what
everybody
I did.
Could see.
Oh yeah. I didn't live that down, you know. Faith and the rest of the campsite, you know, for the rest of the week was like, hey, how was that?
Yeah.
And that was, I believe that was the first night too. That was the Sunday, Monday night.
Yeah.
Great way to start the week, boy. Got to set a precedent.
Yeah.
Well, you get that out of the way and then you can enjoy the rest of the week, you know?
Yeah.
And I so did. It was great.
If you're going to do it, you're usually going to have one. So you might as well get it over with, you know?
Right.
Yep.
Ugh. I just hate getting sick so bad. Ugh. Blah.
Luckily, I never really have that problem. I mean, I've thrown up from.
You have a very high tolerance for all kinds of stuff, Jeremy. I swear.
No, I do. But not really drinking, because was Pork Fest was the first time I had really drank in a couple of years, because I quit. I gave up beer and everything altogether except tequila.
Blasphemy.
Every once in a while. when I went paleo, and then I just stopped drinking because I wasn't going to drink tequila regularly, so I was just like, whatever, I don't need it. So that was really the first. I had a beer in like at least 2 years at that point, so drinking all that was a lot for me.
Hey, my mom posted an article on my Facebook page about how drinking tequila is good for you. It has health benefits and stuff. Seriously.
I've read stuff like that before too. It's made from, I mean, pure agave tequila. It's made from a plant, so
it's
natural.
True.
It's
I guess
wonderful.
So. Yeah.
Now, what is this thing? Somebody told me. See, I have a preference when it comes to tequila. Pretty much, I'm a snob with that too, like everything else. And I really only like to drink mezcal now. But somebody was telling me that's you got the worm, man. You can't go wrong with that.
Well, no, I'm all for eating the worm.
Does the worm actually do anything?
Sure does.
Well, yeah. That thing's been, it's been sitting in there for however long, just absorbing the tequila.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've heard it's like it has psychedelic properties or something.
I wouldn't go that far, but drinking mezcal is not like drinking liquor. It's a different kind of intoxication. It's a, let's take our clothes off and dance kind of intoxication.
Well,
that's
most tequila, as long as you can handle it. Like, some people can handle tequila. Well, a lot of people can't handle tequila. I personally can. It's always been my drink of choice anyway, as liquors go. But I've always liked the clear ones, where you say you have a problem with those.
Oh, yeah. So. Clear ones don't sit well. Well, somebody was telling me that all tequila is made in this town in Mexico called Tequila, and if it's not in the town, it's not real tequila. Kind of like the champagne thing, I think Champagne, France.
Yeah.
And I was like, apparently Mezcal
is... the Champagne region.
Yeah, apparently Mezcal is not made in Tequila, Mexico. So I guess I'm not drinking real tequila.
Okay, I am going to have to Google this like right now.
I haven't taken the time to validate this yet. What somebody told me one night.
I've heard that, but I don't think it's true. I may be wrong, but
I don't care if it's true, man.
Yes, there is a Tequila, Mexico.
Are like Jose Cuervo and Patron and all that? Are they all located in that town?
It's in the
Cuervo is
disgusting.
Let's
see, Tequila is in the province of Jalisco. Let's see, blah blah blah. Tequila is best known as the birthplace. of the drink that bears its name, tequila. How about that?
Well, there we go.
That's not conclusive evidence at all.
But I'm not seeing anything where it says, and this is just Wikipedia. Yeah. I mean, it's just, I'm not seeing anything where it says.
We'll be back with more tequila when we go to the market.
More tequila.
More tequila.
That's racist.
Oh, that was perfect. We need to sample that right there. That's going to be my new text tone.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Y'all deserved it. You definitely deserved to win the World Series, even though I didn't. I watched like maybe, I don't know, 5 minutes of one game or something.
I don't know what that is.
I happen to be in North Carolina with my daughter, who is a huge sports nut. So she loves all the sports balls.
That seems to be like.
Oh my gosh, that sounded really bad.
Phrasing. Are we still doing that?
Oh no. It sounded really bad. Yeah. Anyway, my daughter is going to be on she was on Sports Jeopardy. I think I mentioned this on the show before. And and that show actually airs on November 30th, and it's going to be on Crackle. And I still can't say whether she won or what, but I can say that she won money. I can say that.
Transitioning from Sports Jeopardy.
That's exciting.
What led to this topic of discussion?
During the break, Chandler, you mentioned that after the World Series, Cleveland,
Cleveland and Chicago's Pornhub traffic spiked after Game 7 of the World Series.
Both Cleveland and Chicago. I thought it was just Cleveland.
Well, no, apparently it was both, man.
Wow!
The happy and the depressed people both logged on to the porn site.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Now I want to know, was it laptops or was it cell phones? That was during the break.
A mixture of both.
Apparently, you know, whether you're wicked happy sports fan or wicked sad sports fan, you know, the place to go is Pornhub.
See,
they're tracking that stuff.
But the winners, I guess some crazy sports. But, I can understand the losers, although I have to wonder if people were, you know, downloading like depressing porn, like auto asphyxiation or something.
Thinking they probably were. It was an interactive experience.
I don't know the winners. I guess that's like, you might like. I don't know when I was big in the sports ball, and I mean, I got to live through the. My Cowboys winning 3 championships in 4 years, and then the Yankees.
Cowboys. Aww.
Yeah. back in my...
Apparently, it was both, you know, both cities, but apparently the Cleveland traffic for Pornhub spiked and went through the roof.
Well, that makes more sense. Yeah. The people in Chicago were, like, out partying and stuff and didn't log into Pornhub until later.
Yeah. See, the Cleveland one, it was at about 1 a.m. The traffic spiked to about 96%, and Chicago was around 2 a.m., and it was only about 45%.
Exactly.
If you're looking at the graph that I'm looking at, it's a considerable spike.
Yeah.
Well, sure. So, they celebrated for an hour, and then they were already also drunk, so they got kind of tired, and then they wanted to fall asleep. So,
don't they have like real relationships though? Any of those people?
Well,
are you suggesting that you're not supposed to watch porn if you're in a relationship?
No, not at all. No.
I think she was suggesting that if you watch sports, you don't know what porn is. Which would explain why I know what porn is.
I used to be able to juggle both. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well. No, I just think it's like, it's hilarious.
Like anything else, you can definitely go overboard with it for sure.
I just think it's hilarious that like, I mean, I know Pornhub is supposedly like the biggest site and whatever for porn traffic. I don't understand why, but yeah, and
there's,
apparently
there's other sites.
Oh yes.
Okay.
Oh, but we won't talk about that on air. But apparently they track this stuff, you know, and that's what kind of freaks me out, man. Like, I don't know. I guess I maybe should be using a VPN or something. I don't know, Bola or whatever. I don't want people tracking my internet habits to begin with, especially those habits.
Well, if you don't want people tracking stuff like that, then you probably should be using a VPN most of the time.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's just
or not be on the internet. I mean, you know.
Well, yeah.
Let's be realistic. You know, they can pretty much track anything, but yeah.
Well, VPNs exactly. So that's what I'm saying. be on a VPN or. I don't know. At least on something like Pornhub, you can't get busted watching, you know, stuff you shouldn't be watching or don't want.
Well, yeah, because it's one of those respectable, legitimate porn sites, right?
Yeah. So yeah, they don't.
As if there's such a thing. Oh my god.
Well, come on. It's like the difference between like Penthouse and Playboy, right? Or at least how it used to be. I don't know. I haven't looked at one of those in years. But
well, apparently Playboy doesn't have any more pictures.
No, I know they don't. Yeah, they don't have nudes anymore. I read that. Yeah,
it's all just like because I was talking with somebody and
what's the purpose of it?
They're trying to be sophisticated and appeal to hipsters or some crap like that. I don't know.
And we all know hipsters have never seen a naked.
They don't
girl,
like naked
so.
Women.
Yeah, I was gonna say, are we coming full circle? Are we coming full circle again? Is becoming naked becoming out or something? It's like, you know, are we gonna go back to like everybody covering themselves?
So if they're appealing to hipsters, does that mean the only pictures they're gonna show in Playboy now are men with beards?
Hey,
and skinny jeans.
Oh, you know, I get the beard thing, whatever, hipster or not. I can't grow beards. One because I'm too much of an Indian feather Indian, but
not a dot Indian.
Oh, no. I had to bring that back because it's been a while since we've been on.
Dot or feather.
But, you know, I get it, you know, beards, whatever, but I could never understand the skinny jeans, you know, it just, isn't that painful?
I mean, yes, they are.
Jeremy?
Yes, because I had a girlfriend at one point who like insisted I try them on, and I couldn't even bend over. It was like, I can't function in these things. They serve me no purpose whatsoever.
Yeah,
so, it's no restrictive.
I don't understand.
It's a form of control.
For men either, yeah. Well, because like women buy skinny jeans, and they're stretchy. Like, but the men's skinny jeans are not stretchy, so it's kind of like not fair for them.
I worked with a client once. He was a young kid, and he was kind of a skater or whatever.
Yeah.
And he was obsessed with skinny jeans. Like, I'd have to take him to Hot Topic every once in a while to get him. You know, I had all I could like do to bite my tongue and just be like, you know, man, those jeans look pretty. I bite my tongue, you know, because there's certain things we're just not allowed to say in my work. And man, I never go.
Why were you taking this kid to Hot Topic to buy him skinny jeans?
Well, you know, it's social integration and budgeting and, you know, learning all those skills, right? That's at least that's what we write on paper.
Okay.
But yeah, you know, I was like, I just don't get it, man. You're killing me with these skinny jeans, seriously.
Yeah.
But and if you're a skater, like, I get it if you're a hipster that walks around straight and narrow and can barely move and just like goes to the coffee bar or whatever. But if you're a skater, I cannot see why you would want tight confining jeans.
You would need some like you know, some freedom of movement, I would imagine.
Yeah, I
grew up with skaters back in the day,
yeah.
And they didn't wear no skinny jeans, let me tell you.
No, they wore like what, jams or like with the shorts? Yeah.
Jams, oh my god. Now I feel old. Oh, wow, that brings back some memories.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was it, man. And Van sneakers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hmm. I like Vans.
I was always partial to the Chuck Taylors. Those were
I actually just bought a pair like recently. I mean, I had some. The old ones I had, they were, you know, the black, the like the classic ones, the high tops or whatever. I actually gave those to my daughter, and they're older than she is, and she still wears them. Yeah, it's pretty cool. But I bought a pair of low tops recently.
I have a pair of white Chuck Taylor you know, Converse Chuck Taylors that I've had since I was in eighth grade. And they're still like...
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Now, I don't want to do the math or anything, but I have a kid, so that should tell you something. And I still have these shoes. So, yeah. But they don't make them like they used to. Man, I bought a pair, like, I got online and bought this fancy black pair with, like, this tribal design. I was all excited. And within a month, the sides of them blew out. I was like, really?
Really?
Yeah. So they don't make them like they used to. Sadly.
Yeah.
And, they weren't cheap either, you know.
No, they're not. They're like 50-something dollars. Yeah.
My kid got a really cool leather pair. They're leather Chuck Taylors. And I got to admit, I'm a little jealous. They look pretty cool.
Yeah.
See, like, you're lucky we don't have the same shoe size, because I'd be borrowing those.
I'd never be able to hold on to shoes that long. Like, you guys are talking about having these ones that are that old. I've always, like, ever since I can remember, I insisted on wearing my shoes until, like, I literally couldn't wear them anymore.
Oh, yeah?
Until they would fall off, like, fall off my feet because there was holes in them and stuff, you know, like, so I could never hold on to stuff like that.
Hey, you know, that brings up, I've been wanting to talk about this with some intelligent people, okay?
I was just about to say you may want to wait on that, but yeah.
No. You guys are cool. Come on. So, like, I have a client who's an older gentleman. He lives with his mom, and she's 90 years old. Mm-hmm. And she comes from that generation. I see her, like, if he has t-shirts,
the greatest generation.
Well, that is, that's debatable, but they are greatest in one respect. Yes. You know, this lady, if her son's clothes, and you know, he's a 50-year-old guy or whatever, but if they have holes or whatever, she will sit there, you know, during downtime and mend them, and that's a thing, you know, and that used to be norm.
Yeah,
but now I was at another client's house, and like some, you know, one of those day shows was on, and they were talking about how the warm weather is impacting sales for, you know, hats and mittens or whatever in New England. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about, it's hard to explain, but they were talking about it in like every year there's this business cycle, and this is with all products, where you have to buy new stuff every year, and that's what keeps these companies afloat. Whatever happened to these products that would last you 5, 10 years? Mm-hmm. You know, we've gotten to the point now where the economy is totally driven by consumerism. I just don't get it.
Oh, yeah, and the way and how the quality of things that are made are not necessarily what they used to be, and that kind of thing.
I mean, how is that sustainable, though? Like, how
it's
do you...
It's not, but it's well, I think a lot of it has to do with the, you know, over-regulation, which causes a lot of companies to cut corners where, you know, like, some companies will cut corners because they want to make an extra buck. Other companies will do it because they're forced to, because other regulations and stuff cause them to... You know, spend so much extra money and have to be careful about this and careful about that, and when the monopolies are formed and the government helps shift people in a certain direction to buy their, you know, their supplies from and stuff like that, it just causes a cascading effect where the product, the quality is definitely going to go down.
Yeah,
because the government's involved.
Yeah, it's NAFTA. It's NAFTA.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
That's what you're paying for right there.
I was
going to
say,
regular
and it tastes
like
good.
Five.
Yeah.
Well, there's like five, so that's like actually a 12 pack.
Yeah, that's true. And but it
then
tastes
it's like,
good.
But then the $5 six pack is not good beer.
No.
No.
You know, I found out the other day.
I paid like 10 for like Fat Tire. Fat Tire is one of my favorites.
Yeah, 10 is about average for a good, you know, good six pack. Yeah.
9 or 10, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I found out the other day, I believe it's Coors. Their beer is a
Coors.
Is a non-GMO beer. And they don't advertise it like they've just always been like that.
Mm-hmm. But they taste really bad though.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm like, yay for Coors, except they taste really gross.
Yeah. Bad as Budweiser.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say of all those like the domestic beers like that, like Coors Extra Gold wasn't that bad. You know, like Coors Light's disgusting, but
yeah.
I don't know. If you forced me to drink a domestic, you know, average whatever beer, I guess I'd probably have to go with Miller High Life just because that's what my grandfather and my father both used to drink. And, you know, that's like when I was a kid and I used to sneak a beer here and there, like when I was 17, 18, I think that's probably the first one I ever did. And, you know, not that it was good because it, you know, it's really not.
No. That's funny. My grandfather used to drink Miller High Life, too. That's the first time I remember seeing those bottles.
Yep. It's one of those things. Well, I went to a birthday party Saturday, and I was forced to drink some green beer. Well, you know, I was forced because they can't not, but, you know, it was a keg of green beer. I think it was Heineken. But I will tell you, as I was complaining to my cousin
Heineken's
about that.
Heineken's not too bad.
No, it is.
Yeah, I used to like it when I was younger, and it's not a very good beer. Like,
well, you know what?
It's better than Heineken.
Hey, you know where I drank
to think
Heineken
of it, I haven't had Heineken in a while, so I probably
no. I bet you have. You know why?
Why?
Because Derek and Donna at Porkfest both drink Heineken, and they've been more than gracious enough to give me some when I've run out, so I can't complain too much.
Yeah.
But, no, I did, though, after I was complaining to my cousin Saturday about the Heineken, he says, well, I got something you might like, and his in-laws have a house.
Stash.
Oh, yeah. He didn't even show me the bottle. But his in-laws have a house in Costa Rica, and he got some Costa Rican rum. And he poured some in a glass with a couple of ice cubes, and I don't do straight liquor unless it's tequila. And I will tell you, I sat there for an hour and sipped that glass, and it was mighty fine.
I bet it was.
It was
good,
very smooth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'd love to get the name of it. You know, get me a bottle of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever tried drinking straight rum.
I never had till that day, and it was pretty good. Very smooth. It was gold, too. It wasn't like clear, and it wasn't dark. It was gold. It was very strange. Hmm. I'd never seen a gold rum before.
Yeah.
But it was yummy.
I want to go to Costa Rica.
Me too. I need a nice tropical island with beaches and women and coconuts.
In that order?
In whatever order.
And rum.
Yeah, that too. And a lawn chair.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, every time, anybody who ever, like, I've never, like, actually gone and looked at anything about the place except when people come back from there and then show me pictures, and I'm just like, wow, it looks pretty.
It's yeah, real sure pretty. Does. Oh, yeah.
I should probably
check. Well, isn't that one of the favorite expat places? You know, if you're an expatriate from the U.S., you go to Costa Rica.
Mm-hmm. It has been, definitely. But it's really expensive, though. Panama's another one, too, and it's also pretty expensive.
And you can't really, well, legally, not that that matters, but you can't really legally own guns down there either, right?
Where, Costa Rica?
Yeah, I think they're really strict with that stuff.
I don't remember. It's possible.
That would hurt me if I couldn't have a couple of guns.
Yeah, I don't think I would like that. Is that the place? I think I'm trying to remember. There was this one village I saw that was like the coolest thing ever, and I'm pretty sure it was in Costa Rica, where it was like this little mini village area was built in the trees.
Oh, you can okay. I just looked it up. Okay. Curiosity, of course.
Wow, are you quick?
Yeah. You may bring. Well, this is the top thing, and on Google, you may bring your firearms to Costa Rica, subject to the laws currently in effect. In order to own a firearm, you must have legal residency.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But you do get you have to have a carry permit issued. It doesn't say conceal carry
permit.
Your permission slip. So,
And that's worked so well for me in the past.
Permits are issued by the Ministry of Public Security. And they say the process to issue these permits will take up to 2 months once all the requested documentation is presented, of course.
So plan for a good 6 months anyway.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up in any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. Cell 411 because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at GetCell411.com. That's GetCell411.com.
All right. So, well, I only have intros written for the first hour. So I'm going to kind of... You stole my thunder. I'm going to do this trigger warnings because this is the Freedom Fiends and we say things that you all love but other people don't. And we're broadcasting from some seditious summit and we're mining Bitcoin and we're serving as an Ida wheel to inculcate you with ideas of individualism and help you question obedience. And, you know, we're laughing as Western civilization collapses. And I think Western civilization is collapsing tonight. And yes, we are laughing. And we're all, well, I'm also drinking Double Dog IPA, which is really good. So, just saying.
11% alcohol.
11.5.
Oh, wow. Okay. For all intents and purposes, 12%. Round up.
But it tastes so yummy. Like, you know, that's the thing. That's the thing about beer. Like, it could be like 5%, and I wouldn't care as long as it tastes good.
As long as it tastes good, right? I gotcha.
That's how I know I'm not an alcoholic, because I appreciate the taste, and I don't want to just get drunk.
Right.
And boy, does this stuff taste good! I'll tell you.
So anyway. And the Freedom Fiends is covered by BIPCOT No Government License. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. That means you, Hillary, and or Trump.
People are scared. People are scared for what this means.
I know.
Oh, man, yeah, it's so
I mean,
funny.
I had been, like, scared. I mean, definitely, you know, just thinking about, well, considering I live in Colorado Springs, and it would be kind of good because I would most likely be immediately vaporized. I wouldn't suffer.
Oh, yeah, you're one of the lucky ones. No, I live in Maine, and guess what's in Maine, not very far from where I live? Bath Iron Works.
Right.
If, like, those crazy, crazy people that love war and want to, like, mix it up with Russia and start the whole nuclear thing again, if they all decided to take out some targets, guess what? We'd be first, man. We're a shipyard. So
yeah.
I am.
Well, there's, yeah. I mean, I was obsessed one night and going online and looking at, like, nuclear targets and all this other stuff. And What, Jeremy? Say something comforting.
Yeah, Canadian bacon. They're just trying to mix it up again.
Lou and I talked about this on my show the other night. Nuclear war is such a nonsensical threat.
Yeah,
nobody
I know. Mutually
wants to do
assured
that because,
destruction. Of
yeah,
course,
there's
yes.
no winning that. So yeah. it's never really a threat.
A strange game.
Well, no,
the
you
only
know,
winning move is no, not to play.
No. Let's be
exactly.
realistic, though. No, let's be realistic, though. That used to be the case, but now, with the United States and Russia upgrading their nuclear arsenals to these smaller tactical nukes, it's not like the old game of mutually assured destruction. It's like, well, we're going to take out these selective targets of a massive area, and that's it. So it's a little bit more realistic and in your face than it was in the 80s, and you know, from the 50s to the 80s. It's I mean, I hope that people are not that insane as to engage in that kind of behavior, but it's not the same game as it was during the Cold War.
Well, no, everything always evolves in that matter, but the threat of the retaliation, which would end up leading to the full-scale destruction, even if you have these tactical things, I don't know. We discussed it, and I really don't. Neither of us really saw it. I don't really see it either. I don't like it. There's a reason only one, you know. There's only one time that it seems to have happened that people used that offensively.
Yeah, what a horrible thing that was.
So
I don't know. All I know is I got my little kitten in my lap, and I'm happy.
And yeah, and I don't, you know, I. It's funny. I just during the break I was looking, and there's so many people out there gloating, and other people like, because you were talking about earlier. I can't remember before we got on or not about, you know, all the people, all the Hillary supporters out there. I don't see that in my feed at all. All I see is the Trump supporters.
Oh wow,
that are still there. Yeah, well,
you're missing all the fun, man.
And the anarchists that, you know, or supposed anarchists that were either going to vote for Trump or trying to convince other people if they're going to vote for Trump, and that are happy, more happy that he wins because they were, you know, they were petrified of the same thing of Hillary and nuclear war and all this stuff. And
yeah,
I because of the whole idea of the, you know, deep state or whatever you want to call it, the double government. I used to go by the shadow government until I read that paper recently, but the national security and double government, the one Ben recommended in his book. It's very interesting, and it kind of lays out pretty much exactly what's gone on since, you know, World War One.
Well, it'll be interesting. Like, let's just assume for a minute that Trump is selected for this this election cycle. Now, it's been the Democrats and the Hillary side that have been screaming that Russia is hacking everything and trying to affect our elections. And Trump's been like, no, man, that's not the way it is. So if he gets in, how does that whole ramp up the Cold War with Russia work when he's been kind of saying, no, that's not the way it is, you know? I think that whole aspect of ramping up tensions with Russia kind of backfires in the public face if Trump gets in.
Well, if he's, I mean, I still say, because I said this when I finally conceded that I thought Trump actually had a really legitimate shot of pulling off, at the very least, a popular vote. That, you know, you got to give it the first, you know, 6 months to a year and see, like, because there's so many people out there, like I said, even anarchists who are hoping more for him to win because of the things that he claimed he wanted to do. And I'm like, how is he different than any other politician who makes these claims and then never follows through on them?
Right. That's what I said, too.
You know, even if he is the outsider that so many people, I can't understand how
the anti-establishment candidate.
I know. I still can't believe so many people fall for that garbage. But even if he is, do you think he's honestly going to be allowed to do anything? No.
Well, because that's the thing.
President doesn't wield the power.
Well, you know, the executive branch does actually wield a lot of...
He nominates the Supreme Court justices.
Yes.
Well, yes. There's that.
The executive branch, but not the president. The president is becoming more and more of a figurehead.
Exactly.
Every cycle. It's just, that's just the way it's been for, like, you know, because...
50 years?
The bureaucratic state that actually runs things, the people that have been there for 20, 30, 40 years.
Exactly. I think we talked about that the last show I was on. You know, that bureaucratic state, those people that have been in there and it's their career. They're the ones who write policy and dictate how the State Department handles things. It's not the figurehead. It's not even the Congress. You know, I know the Congress is supposed to vote for war, and we see how well that's worked. But I mean, it's all a sham. It's a shell game, and I don't know. It'll just be. I think the public in order to sustain this illusion, you need a certain amount of public opinion, right? You need people to go along with it, to give it legitimacy, to say that it's right and everything. And I think it'll be interesting to see how a Trump administration will play that out, you know, because I talked to a guy the other day. He was like, oh, you know, Trump has called for the end of the Federal Reserve, or investigating the Federal Reserve and withdrawing our troops from overseas. And I didn't see that, for one, so I kind of questioned that. But I'm like, even if that was so, you know, how does that work exactly once you get down to the brass tacks of things? You know, once it goes to committees and think tanks and all that. I mean, do you think it even makes a difference? And a lot of people do, but I don't know, man. Call me cynical. I just don't see it.
Yeah, I don't either. I think, just like, you know, that seems like the same type of thinking from the people that, you know, will blame the president they don't like for failures during their presidency, but the one they do, they, and something goes wrong, well, the president, it's not just the president, you know, it's like,
right, ridiculous, exactly, notion.
Like, and that's the way they're, that it's the same type of thinking here. It's like, well, no, they, it's one or the other, and if you actually look at things, they don't hold the power, so they, well, can talk a big game, and even if Trump's on the up and up, he's not going to get to do the things he wants to do that are going to go against the overall agenda, because, well, that's,
well, and,
not,
I mean,
how things work.
All you have to do is point to the last 8 years, right? I mean, how a candidate campaigns is a lot different than how they govern. I mean, Obama, he should have been our guy, man. He was all anti-war and ending the empire.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Won the Nobel Peace Prize before he...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And look how that's ended up. You know, more military intervention around the world. And... It just boggles my mind. I mean, these people have no historical or economic perspective. I mean, these are the same people that think we need to, like, in my home state, apparently it's winning right now. You know, these are the same people that think we need to raise the minimum wage to a livable wage. You know, they don't want to talk about fiat currencies and inflation and devaluation of our currency and how that's affecting us in the real world. No, no, no. We'll just raise the minimum wage. That'll solve everything. You know, I mean, these.
Yeah, it's magic, don't you know?
It is. It's magic and ritual.
It's magic.
Yeah. It really is. And it, oh, and the religious people, man, you know, they're the ones that get me the most. You
oh,
know?
That,
they,
yeah.
You know, they, yeah, they're sitting there. Praising certain candidates and certain aspects of government, and it's
idolatry is what it is.
Yeah. Ben Stone put it best. You know, I posted a couple of his speeches that I saw at Porkfest, yep, a few years ago, mm-hmm, where, and he talks about it. You know, these people are the people that are kicking God off the throne. They're supposedly religious, devout people, but they're kicking God off the throne, mm-hmm, and placing their faith in government and,
yeah,
you know, idolatrous politicians. And it's like, yeah, why? Why would you do that?
Yeah, I don't know, because America's a Christian nation or something. I don't know.
Right. Right. So Christian that, yeah, we go and bomb brown people all over,
exactly,
the world.
Yeah. Here's something. I've actually been perusing Facebook a little bit while we've been talking. Here's something funny that James Babb posted earlier. Be careful today. Statistically, a voter is more likely to choke on vomit while voting than to influence the election.
I saw that. That was great.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you sick of seeing peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Sad time. I'm so sad for America. You know why? Not because of all this election stuff, but because I'm out of my double IPA.
Well, I think America should be sad for you. I think that should be.
I think they should, man. I need to. Where's my Uber? Like my Uber to go to the store and buy me some more beer. That's what I need.
Yeah. I mean, well, there's got to be places that deliver beer.
There's a market niche for that, and I need it filled now.
If government hadn't gotten involved and screwed things up, that could have been something that, like, you know, the Amazon drones could have handled. You know?
Drone beer delivery.
Exactly.
I love it.
You know, a six pack, a tiny little drone could carry that. It'd be fine.
That would be awesome.
Right? See, there you go. But well, government had already got, when Amazon tried to do that, government got in the way and stopped them.
Well, I'm going to get around that because my goal for this year is to learn how to brew beer better. I need to, like, do that. You know, I think it was a couple of years ago, a friend of mine and I, we got beer. It was funny. We got each other Christmas gifts, and we both went to Sam's Club, and we both got each other beer brewing kits. The same, well, same kit, different beer. So that was our thing, and we did that, and whatever. But I want to get into that more. I want to get into beer brewing and aquaponics. I think those are two good New Year's goals.
Do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
Because my garden box didn't turn out so well.
I'll drink it, and I'll smoke it.
He just couldn't stay away.
He couldn't. So. Listen to him chewing.
I'm eating peanuts.
Couldn't even wait.
Peanuts is good.
Fiend phone unnecessary. Random re-education interruption emergency service or furries. So I was napping. I slept about a half hour and I was like.
You feel better?
No, I was tossing and turning. I haven't thought about the election for like 8 years. I haven't even thought about it. So I was tossing and turning and like. Hillary's going to be raping me in under the covers. And
no.
That's a nightmare, man.
With my guns. So I was like having these unsettling, not even dreams, just like feeling.
Nightmares.
So I woke up and it looks like, is Trump winning?
Yeah. Yes.
Not that that's any less horrifying, but to quote Bill Burr, I like Bill Burr. You guys like Bill Burr?
Yeah.
Yes.
Bill Burr said something like, you know, 6 months ago. So like, I don't really care. I mean, they're all freaking horrible. But, you know, as a comedian, probably I guess I would have to say, you know, cause someone's asking him who should win. He's like, I don't care. But you know, as a comedian, probably Trump because it's better material. So
yep. Harkens back to the days of Bush, man, you know?
Yeah.
I bet we'll get some good, we'll get
That's
some Trumpisms.
That's a silver lining. That's definitely a silver lining, Michael. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Yep. Uh-huh. Yeah,
And also, he's best buds with Putin.
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 This is like a dirt. Can you say that on radio?
Putin. I said vagina earlier.
Oh, that's a medical thing. But I was.
That's a medical thing.
Yeah, that's exactly how it was used.
I'll be right back. Let me go listen to the sound quality.
Oh my goodness.
Well, thanks for stopping by, Michael.
No, you know, and Michael's right, too. Like, as horrible as Bush was, man, was he entertaining.
Material.
Like, mm-hmm. Oh, I remember, like...
Strategery.
Oh, yeah. I love the meme. I posted it not too long ago, and I know he didn't say it, but it's so
I know.
Taxation is theftification.
Theftification.
He was so great, man. Just for that, man, the comedic value. And I think we need that in this country, right? You know, if we're going to have spokesperson.
Hang on. I'm your head spokesperson. I have announcements. So, Diana, turn down about 20%.
Down about 20%?
Yeah. I mean, okay. I'm sure. Did you guys do a sound check? You probably
did. We sure did.
Yeah.
They probably said y'all sounded good, but then Diana got excitable like she does and got louder.
I'm surprised you're not telling me to turn down. I'm usually the excitable
one. No, you're okay. But, yeah, we're all good.
Oh, my goodness.
Trying
okay,
to keep
how's
quality
that?
High.
I did something right for once. Awesome.
How's that?
That was really Chandler. Were you intentionally loud, Chandler, just now?
Yes, I was.
Okay, you turned down 5% too, Chandler, and don't do that again. That was painful and bad radio. And you know what happens when you do bad audio on this show? You know what it results in?
It results
in weeks and weeks of pain, memes,
penance.
T-shirts, pennants.
Pennants. Yes.
Yeah. You don't want to do intentional bad audio.
See, he says this, but it still only happened to me, and other people have engaged in bad audio sets. Yeah. So I
no, Michael's just given up on me. He doesn't even bother shaming me.
Like, oh, I gave up on you like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I like your personality. Just your audio ain't always... Anyway, Trump, it's going to be an interesting 4 years. So did we talk about, I know we're going to the market. Did you guys say that the president of the Philippines, his days are numbered?
Yes, I said that in the very beginning.
He read all my commands.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Sexy Kitty at sexykitty.orgy.
Whoa.
You know, the more I get off of Pregnazone and the more I get on Cash Newman. What? Oh, yeah.
Phrasing.
Getting off. I'm down to 2 milligrams of Pregnazone a day from 30.
Oh, awesome. Good.
The further I get off it and the more, like, less dying I become in general from everything else that I'm working on and improving. The more I suddenly, like, remember that sex exists and go, oh, humans. Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing, huh?
My wife likes it.
I bet she does.
So,
lucky
Jim day. Jesus was wrong.
Oh, boy.
So were many of us.
So, last night on the show, there were two things that got corrected right after the show. So, we finished the show with Jim Jesus proving that he knows everything by claiming that the phrase, Americans call it Moulin Labe. We found out from my Greek friend who's in Greece last night that it's actually pronounced more like Moulin Labe.
Yeah.
Labe, not Labe, and it's Moulin Labe. It's almost French, yeah. But first of all, people in Greece do not, they know the phrase from history class from the 300. That's, you know, they're very proud of that for their history class, but, you know, way before the movie. However, people in Greece do not know that American gun nuts wear t-shirts that say that and mispronounce it.
Say what?
Moulin Labe, you know, melon.
No,
labia.
I know, but he didn't know that. I'm just like that. Yeah. I find that.
No. Jim Jesus is not in this equation yet. My friend Makis from Greece said that Greek people know the phrase, they know the story, but they don't know that it's a battle cry of American gun owners. Like, Hillary's going to take our guns. Melon labia, you know? So,
labia?
No, the other thing, though, is Jim Jesus was wrong. Jim Jesus, we ended the show. Last thing on the show was Jim Jesus said, oh, but I think that the Greeks got that. I think that's actually Latin. Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Oh, it's not?
Is that purring or a bong hit?
That's purring.
That's awesome.
Oh, no,
that's your kitty.
It's here. It's the kitten.
So, Jim Jesus was wrong. Yeah. So that's my update. But so you wanted to, what'd you say? You asked me something about Bitcoin. Oh, that I was yelling at somebody in Greek or in Greece.
Yeah,
I was yelling at some other guy. I love Makis. I like him a lot. This other guy I don't know is like yelling at me on the forum. And now, what is it about cryptocurrencies and mining cryptocurrencies, do you think, that attracts people who think that people owe them something and must do their bidding immediately when they have a problem?
Because they're experts.
No, it's because
they're entitled.
Because you can make a lot of... Because you know what it is? It's because everybody's heard the story about people like Roger Ver who mined Bitcoin when it was easy and then now have $50 million. And they think they're going to do that overnight with Bitcoin. And they go out and rent you know, pay $50 a day to rent some hash power or something and then yell at us when... So here's the thing. With... This is some news you can use if you're mining any crypto note, cryptocurrency. There's a latency. This is actually to help the whole mining process for everybody. So if you have a pool with like 10 kilohash per second on it of, you know, 30 miners combined, and somebody rents like another 40, like way more than everyone has, and sucks up all the coins for a few days, when they stop, it takes the difficulty a while to go down. And like, the normal block emission of Bitcoin is a block every 10 minutes. With Bitcoin, it's every 2 minutes. And with crypto note currency, cryptocurrencies, they have this thing called variable emission, I think it's called, where it's not always a block every 2 minutes. So when the hash rate is rising, you get more than a block every 2 minutes. So the pool is almost alive. It's like saying, oh, someone's going to suck up the coins. There won't be any for the little guys. I'm going to issue more coins. The way that it makes up for that on the other end is when the hash rate is falling of the whole network, blocks are less than every 2 minutes. So somebody saw this happening and saw like there was no block for 10 minutes and was like wrote me screaming at me like, the pool is broken. The mining is not working. Huh. Your coin, it is broken.
Your coin, like, it is broken.
And I looked at the stats. I looked at a few stats on the pool. Actually, the guy speaks pretty good English. So I thought he was American, and I thought he was drunk because it's election night, and everyone who drinks is drunk in America every election night. And I said, no, it's not a problem. The pool's fine. It's just adjusting. It'll be better in a couple hours for you. Are you drunk? And he started, like, wrote back screaming at me. And, like, he's been going back and forth just screaming at me like an entitled child. Like, I rented some mining power, and I'm mining, you know, sucking up all the coins, and it's not giving me all the coins anymore. You know, like, basically he's saying, I'm making it hard for everybody, but I'm not getting everything. I'm only getting most of everything for my money. So do something. Make it right. You know, like, that's the kind of vibe I got from him.
Yeah.
So F everyone. That's the second. And another guy, like, started a pool the other day who, like, running a mining pool, if you've run one for Bitcoin or Bitcoin coins that are clones of Bitcoin, and you're good at that, and you go to try to run a pool for crypto note coins, it's not as easy, and it's easy to mess up. And you really have to know what you're doing to do it right. And two times now in the past 2 months since this coin has existed, someone has started a new pool and announced, I have a new pool. Everyone jump in my pool. And then the pool immediately forks and is on a different blockchain. So none of their coins are worth anything. That happened again last night. And like, it was a guy who'd run a coin called like Neptunium. It's named after the element that's named after Neptune.
Oh, yeah.
And his coin is dead. It's been out 6 months and it's dead. Like, you look at the thread on Bitcoin Talk and everyone's like, this coin, like, no, you can't even sync the blockchain anymore. Like, no one has this running. You know how Bitcoin, like, we stopped it for a month, but some people were still, like, they don't even have that. Like, you have to have at least somebody running it to be able to transact or, you know. So, like, his coin's dead and he's like, well, my coin died. I'll go mine, start a pool for this other coin. And, like, he didn't test it. He just set it up. Geez. He didn't even mine on it himself for an hour to test it. He sent me two private messages. Like, I have a pool. Please put it on your website. And I woke up. And I woke up after that, like, an hour later. And I hadn't written him back immediately. So he'd gone on Bitcoin Talk on the Bitcoin thread. Bitcoin Talk, as I call that thread. Mm-hmm. And he'd posted twice in a row, I have a pool. It's a great pool. Come on in my pool. So I start poking around. I look at his pool. There's not even anyone. He's not even mining on his pool. So his pool. There's no one there. Like, who would want to mine on a pool with zero people on it? Like, if there's one person on it and the blockchain is correct, height, I might mine on it, but he didn't even mine in his own pool. He made a big to-do of announcing it, and I looked at it. It'd been running an hour, And it was like five blocks ahead of our chain already.
Yeah. Hey, this just in.
Yeah?
Donald Trump is a liar and a socialist, and his feet stink.
And he's the president.
And this just in. My kitten's licking my microphone.
That's more important than who's president.
I agree. That's why I let you know.
So why'd you interrupt me, Diana? I was on a roll. I was almost done. Now I have to start over. You know that.
Okay.
We have to re-download the whole Michael Stories blockchain.
You should have just let him interrupt himself, man. It would have been quicker.
All right, so let me finish. Wait, Donald Trump elected president in shock to establishment? That's what I'm looking at. Is that what you're talking about, Diana?
No, I just said that.
That's what I'm reading. Like, this is a headline from the Associated Press from 8 minutes ago.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm telling a story about Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Screw that guy. Screw Donald Trump.
Just wanted to establish the fact that he is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink.
So you interrupted me to tell me that, to say that, without noticing he'd just become president?
No, I didn't even know.
I'm not mad at you. I'm just curious.
No, I didn't.
I think you guys are missing the point.
Breaking news.
My microphone.
That is really important. That is the most important thing. And the second most important thing.
What a coincidence, though, right?
Is me finishing my Bitcoin story, and then we'll never speak of Trump again. Wouldn't that be weird if we just had a political podcast where, like, a guy was elected president who we just disliked so much? That we just never mention him. He who cannot be spoken of.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's a new rule. Anyone who mentions Trump's name after tonight or even implies that he exists has to send $20 in Bitcoin immediately to antiwar.com.
Well, then how are we going to make use of all the great material?
Oh, did you talk about the new, like, itty-bitty kitty committee?
Not yet. I was going to mention that, too.
Okay. I'm done giving Bitcoin lessons. So there's a lady who started a really cool site. She says she's the first artist selling things for Bitcoin. I'd kind of argue that I am, although I don't know if I call myself an artist, but I'll let her have it because she's the first person who didn't invent Bitcoin or help invent Bitcoin, who's selling things for Bitcoin.
That's pretty cool.
Who's not a fiend. Yeah,
that
it's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. And so I did her page.
What's her page called? I love the name.
Her page is on Facebook, and it's it's like facebook.com/bitforart. It's the Itty Bitty Freedom Kitty Committee. So cute.
It's awesome.
I love that.
Say it again. It's so awesome.
It's the Itty Bitty Freedom Kitty Committee.
Yeah. Yep. So wait, since Trump is like, I'll make sure your Second Amendment is respected, should we all run outside and fire our guns in the air to celebrate?
Let's do it.
That's such a bad idea. Fire them into the dirt, not in the sky. You don't want to kill your neighbors.
Yeah, woo.
I saw that episode of CSI. I saw that episode of CSI.
Hey, I'm right. I'm still in the contest.
Did you see that episode of CSI? It's amazing. It's where, like, there's these two rednecks in you know, Las Vegas, rural, like, out of a trailer park outside of Las Vegas, and they're in their backyard, like, shoving each other, like, about to punch each other, and the wife of one of them comes out pointing a gun at the other one, and then all of a sudden, her husband, not the one she's pointing at, you don't hear a gunshot, but he just keels over, and there's a gunshot wound in his chest, and it wasn't the woman. She didn't fire her gun. It was like somebody a mile away fired a bullet into the air, and it came down, and it hit this guy and killed him. But, and of course they did, like, you know, the trajectory, rocket science, trigonometry math, and figured out exactly where it came from, which probably ain't possible.
Theathai is really good at that.
Theathai is beautiful at that. So I saw the funny thing earlier today, too, though. It was like,
we're out.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you tired of stinky socialists trying to take over America?
And are you also tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem with no firsthand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Truth Justice American Way app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market, but tell you how they make money in a variety of patriotic endeavors.
The Truth Justice American Way app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on the topics of finance, liberty, self-defense, and technology.
All the hosts are all American Americans from all over America.
And the app is made in Wyoming, the cowboy state.
Because you should buy American, even with free Android apps.
Truth, Justice, American Way. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior American audio quality.
Go on the Google Play Store or the Amazon App Store and search Truth, Justice, American Way.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
Apparently.
We are. We're on the air, y'all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, hey, are we on the air?
All right.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Are we live? Hello, are we live?
So we're talking about fat, stone, tattooed people for the military.
Well, no, actually, though, we were talking about people that used to be plumper and lusciouser and now are just lusciouser. And Diana said something, and I said, I'd hit it, speaking of her. Basically, it turned into a .org that was that would be like, you know, grounds O-R-G-Y. For suing. Grounds for suing at a real on a real radio show.
Real, like if you were actually paying me, yes.
Yeah,
I could
yeah. So I said, I'd hit it. And Diana said, I'd hit it too, speaking of herself. And Jeremy said, I'd hit it. And Chandler didn't say I'd hit it, but he was like, mashed potatoes. I'm kidding.
Speaking of mashed potatoes and Billy Bob Thornton, I finally started watching Goliath.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it's really good. Anyway, so we're going to talk about something else right now, though.
Oh, I read something. Somebody said that this was earlier today. It said, leaked Trump's, and this is like when nobody thought Trump would win. This is the AP wire, like the Associated Press says, like Trump wins White House in astonishing victory. Like, even the news people who followed elections for 100 years are like, what happened?
Exactly. So, yeah,
I don't like Trump. I don't like Hillary, but I do love liberal tears, and it's what I use to lubricate my guns instead of
it's
gun
an
oil.
It's an aphrodisiac.
And liberal tears have gotten pretty scarce and expensive in the past 4 months, 5 months leading up to, because all the liberals, they weren't crying because they were like, we're going to make you everyone pay when Hillary's in. So, I mean, there are people wandering the streets now in their bathrobe going like, but Hillary.
Yeah,
so I love liberal tears, and I will yet again be able to clean and lubricate my guns. So
I just saw
go ahead.
I just wanted to say I saw the best meme ever. Well, besides the show meme, but
for tonight, which is amazing. Did we say who made it? JP Brody. Thank you.
Yes.
JP Brody has sent me memes over and over, and they've all been like not really hit it. Like, too many words. Doesn't really get it.
That one's perfect.
And he sent
this
one tonight.
Is perfect.
He
tonight.
Sent one tonight that we're just going to. Steve Miller will get down on his knees and say, I'm not worthy when he sees this meme. JP Brody, I helped build that. I will take some responsibility. I helped build JP Brody's meaning by lovingly saying, no, that one sucks. Do another one.
But do it again.
What meme did you see?
It's a side-by-side of Donald Trump and a Barack Obama, and it says, this is not what we meant by Orange is the New Black.
Yeah, and I said that there was a Rachel Dolan's one that said, Orange is the New Black, because she has a spray on tan and is not black. So here, really quick, we got to get this out. So yeah, there's this article. What's the title of this article, Diana?
It's a overweight, tattooed, stoned. The Pentagon may still want you.
I know. I read that out loud to my wife, and Cash Newman was sitting in our living room eating all our food, and he goes, I'll totally do that, man.
Newman.
So, Newman. Yeah. Newman.
But it's from the military.com.
That's the funny thing. Website. Like, I first saw this in, like, LA Times in my news feed, and I was like, oh, my God, what is that? And I forgot about it, and then I Googled it again with the, like, what I remembered of it, and this came up, military.com. So, basically, the military.gov, isn't it? So, it's basically, like, it's the Army's recruitment slogan
it's
now.
It's a pitch.
Overweight, tattooed, stoned. Uncle Sam wants you.
We'll still give you a paycheck.
Okay. It says they're scrambling to keep up with America's changing social mores, which is interesting because I guess that means that people are just like being like fat and stoned and tattooed.
Like basically under awesome. 8 years
like
of
hypocrisy. Not
under
that
8 years
tattoos
under
stoned,
8 years of Barack Obama, everyone got fat, tattooed, and stoned. So this
not
isn't
everyone.
For soldiers in the, this isn't for soldiers in the field. This is for the people that will, like, run the drones. Not to just run the drones, but design all the computer hardware and software, you know, that, like, does the killing from now on. You know, there's actually a Simpsons like 25 years ago. You ever seen the one?
Yes.
Where Bart and Lisa, yes. You ever seen the one where Bart and Lisa go to military school?
Yes, I have.
Bart gets sent off to military school
as a punishment,
and Lisa sues to demand to go because Bart went, and she wants to be equal.
Yeah, she wants to be equal.
So at the end of it, the commencement speech, the guy is saying, in the future, wars will not be shot, will not be fought in a battlefield. They will be shot. They will be fought on mountains by robots. It will be your jobs to maintain those robots. Go forth, graduates. So that was prescient 20 years ago or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, now they're looking for basically Bart Simpson. Can you imagine Bart Simpson at 35? He would be fat, tattooed, and stoned.
Yeah.
And now he's going to go, you know, design and maintain those robots.
Oh, Lord.
Thank you for your service, Bart. I welcome our robot bee overlord maintainers, designers.
Speaking of Simpsons, did you see that they've been renewed?